You don't want to see this one, son. I've seen nothing like it before, and I've seen a few. It's the wife. She's got no... Well, he's ripped at her, son. It's a right mess in there. There's not much of her left. You don't want to see it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise Podcast. My name is Chris, and this morning you join me and my best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. James D. Downey.
Hello.
On what is episode 108 of the Empty Promise Podcast. D, thank you so much for being here.
108, Chris.
Yes.
Flight 108.
Flight 108.
We should have done a Lost special on this episode. I've just realized. We're so bad at planning.
Every week this happens, it's like, we should have done this, yeah. Oh, Flight 108, that would have been terrific. Yeah. Maybe we could do a Lost intro for this one. Make no sense.
Not really the topic at all, yeah.
Ah, shit.
Lost is kind of spooky. It was kind of...
And I said to you before we started that I realized on Instagram I put this was the 107th episode.
Which it may be.
I am 1 week behind myself. we've done this before. Yeah. But this is the fourth spooky week. Mm-hmm. It is the 25th of October, and I have a bit of on this day.
Perfect.
Okay. It's been a while since I've done this. Normally you're bringing me lists.
Oh yeah, the book is gone.
Yeah, it's gone. I don't know where it is. I think I left it in yours.
Again, really?
I think so, yeah. Oh, God, I don't remember taking it. Unless it's in the boot of my car.
I have literally, all them books are still stacked.
As they were sitting on them.
So yeah. I haven't checked beneath them.
Then that's where they are. Okay, 1415. I'll take you back there if you want.
Okay.
The Battle of... Is it Agincourt or Agincourt?
Agincourt.
Henry V's forces defeat larger French army, and the longbow defeats the armored knight.
Oh, that is so cool.
The longbow defeats the armored knight. Was the armored knight a person?
I think like those are divisions, probably. Like the longbow division beat the armored knight division.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah.
That's how war used to be.
Yeah.
Longbows taking out armored knights.
That's really cool, yeah.
Imagine having like a specific class of soldier, say the US Army. Mm-hmm. And there's a class of soldiers that are just called the armored soldiers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of have that with infantry, don't you? You have like the, your medics, you have like your heavy guys.
But like, imagine there's like, are the heavy guys like the better? Are the heavy guys like in armor? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, probably
I mean,
not,
like,
no.
I mean like walking around juggernaut suits.
Juggernaut, yeah.
Or something
that'd be
like
pretty
that,
cool,
you know?
Yeah.
That's the armored division.
Yeah.
So they're like kind of like.
The sniper division are just all in ghillie suits. All stood there just completely. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I know war doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah, it does not.
But imagine it was. It was just like one army on this side, another army on this side. You have the snipers at the back, infantry at the front, the armored division coming up the rear.
Then like your technical guys are all like, you know, like. Robotics and shit. I know, like computers and all that.
They're like drones flying about getting reconnaissance and all that. Yeah,
that's cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah, yeah. You should write a book about that.
Should I?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it.
1854, the infamous charge of the Light Brigade during the Battle of Balaclava in the Crimean War results in over 100 killed.
It was a
field charge.
Charge of the Light Brigade. Mm-hmm. Something, he said.
I looked into this a little bit. Do you know what that charge is?
What do you mean?
Do you know what that actual charge, do you know what that was? Like the charge of the Light Brigade? So the British were like fighting the Russians.
Oh yeah, they got like bad intel.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. Bad intel, and they should have sent the, like the Light Division or something towards these Turkish gun positions. And bad intel obviously came down, and they sent this Light Brigade instead.
Oh, right.
Instead of sending like these small divisions that could have easily taken out the guns, they sent a full charge of this Light Brigade
and just tucked them out. Like,
just hey presto.
I just remember from the poem. You remember the poem?
Oh, that's where I know that.
Yeah,
from. I was reading that, going, where do I know the charge of the Light Brigade? That's GCS or A level English.
I think it's A level English. Yeah, it's a really good one. It's like a wee rhyme. It's like a charge of the Light Brigade. Da 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 da. I forget all the words, but it's like all I remember from it is into the jaws of death.
Oh,
remember that part? It's like into the jaws of death, something, or into the mouth of death, and then something else. That's like one verse, and then the next verse is back out of the
once more back, into the fray.
No, it's not even that. It's back out of the mouth of death.
That's a Liam Neeson movie.
Back out of the mouth of death, and then it's like, but like. Something something numbers, like they lost like
they lost loads. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was a field charge by British divisions basically on Russians or on Turkish gun placement. So there you go.
Shouldn't have done it.
1962, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Adlai Stevenson, demands USSR U.N. Rep. Zorin answer regarding Cuban missile bases, saying, quote, "I am prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over."
Did he coin the phrase? Is that where that comes from?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's still waiting on that response. Like, I can't.
Well, that's that was like the beginning of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah,
which is the closest we've ever come to World War III.
World War.
There's actually, I read this about on Reddit the other day. There's a movie about the guy, a Russian soldier, who is probably solely responsible for avoiding war.
Why? What did he do?
Because Cuban Missile Crisis. We should do an episode on the Cuban Missile Crisis.
It's there. It's there.
Perfect.
It's, yeah.
But yeah, maybe we'll cover it then. But basically, okay, like, through all of the communications between the US and Russia, they were all just like bigging each other up. They're like,
shit.
You know,
because
we're not backing down. We're not backing down. And one person managed to get like.
Did I ever tell you about, I read about into Operation Northwoods? Did I tell you about that?
It's where the CIA is like going in and like.
Saying that they wanted to like bomb.
Yeah.
Or attack like you, like their own people.
Try and free them. Russians.
Blame it on Cuba.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It got all the way to JFK and he just went, no, I'm not signing that. Like, we're not doing this.
I'm sure they probably did it. Like,
probably.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Because I think then the CIA, like, not like him.
Oh, yeah. No, JFK, they didn't. No. I mean, look how it turned out for the guy.
Yeah, fucking hell.
And finally, 1978, Halloween. Directed by John Carpenter, starring Donald Pleasance. And Jamie Lee Curtis in her film debut is released.
That's mad.
There you go. Perfect
the
spooky.
The horror classic.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
Have you not?
No.
I have seen it.
Yeah. The 2018 version or 19 one, like 30 years on, is on Netflix at the minute. And I haven't brought myself to watch it.
Apparently it's very good as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Apparently like compared to, because do you know how many Halloween movies there's been?
Yeah, there's loads, isn't
there? There's been like 8.
Oh, yeah.
And like I know this because my cousin Patrick.
He is like my number one reference for those movies. Yeah. I remember always talking to him about those movies.
He loves those films. So it's like Halloween, and it's Halloween 2, and then it's Halloween 3.
Is there Halloween H2O?
Yeah. That's 20 years later.
Oh, that H2O, makes sense. Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's nothing to do with water.
No, nothing to do with water. It's at a school.
Oh.
Not even a swimming school or nothing.
Oh, shit.
But yeah. And then there's like 4, Curse of something. And then there's 5, Michael's Return.
So it's all Mike Myers?
Yeah. Oh, then there's 6. And 7 is H2O. Oh, no, maybe 6 is H2O. And then 7 was another like Return of Halloween.
Yeah, didn't they do one like... Yeah. They did one not 2019, but a bit before that.
Yeah, it was like a found footage one or something. Not found footage, it was like a reality TV show set in his house.
Oh, God, that's... Anyway. Yes, that's what it was. Yes. I think I've seen part of that one. Yes, I have seen
Halloween Resurrection, I think that one's called.
I've seen part of that one, actually, yeah. I actually didn't mind it.
No?
Yeah, no. It was just creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Walking about this guy's house and he's trying to kill them all. I watched a couple of movies I got over the last week, so I'll touch on those when we get to them. Yeah, that's all I have for on this day.
I'm pretty astounded we had something to say about all of the facts on this day.
Yeah.
We almost never do. It's always something like... such and such happened in 1609. We're like, all right, whatever the fuck that was. But this time we're like, oh yeah, that's the...
Oh yes, the charge of the Light Brigade.
The charge of the Light Brigade, yes. I remember from GCSE English. Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah. We are...
We're so knowledgeable.
I was just about to say, we're up and coming, you know, with our knowledge. We've come a long way. You know? It's
we just sit at home reading books all the time, so we have something to say on the podcast. It's the prime motivator behind
that's
learning
what we do.
Anymore.
Yeah. What else are you supposed to do during COVID? Like, you know, you may as well increase your knowledge about something.
Work out. I don't know.
Do you know why I read this week? I actually looked into what the... Hang on, let me get this right. What was Einstein's law? Oh, the theory of relativity.
Relativity, yeah.
I read about that this week to better understand the theory of relativity. That's what my COVID is becoming.
It's head fucking.
It's mind-bogglingly. Yeah. How anyone can come up with such a theory is crazy.
I know. And be proven right, like,
you do it, like
60 years later.
Yeah, and from that, one of the main things I pulled from that is, like, if you are standing at the top of a mountain and I'm at the bottom, our watches are going to be different.
Yeah.
They're going to tick differently. Like, yours is going to move quicker than mine.
Is it? I don't know whose moves quicker, yeah.
Slightly quicker.
Yeah.
Like,
we're
talking, like, milliseconds, 100 milliseconds.
That's how GPS works.
Is it?
Yeah. The satellites that are like floating around out in the Earth's atmosphere tick slightly slower or faster, I forget which way, than clocks on the surface.
Right.
And they can tell the minute differences between those ticks is how they know
where a person is,
where you are. So no way. Yeah, it's like, that is bizarre to me. Like,
Jesus Christ,
they just send, they, all they send is numbers to each other saying like, I think that the time now is this, and then they compare and they say, well, you're off by so many seconds, which means you're this far away from me, and then they do two other satellites to do that, and then they go, what, that means you're here. Isn't that crazy? Dude, like,
it's like, whoa. Yeah. Oh,
and we just, we're just like, like using, where's the nearest McDonald's?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're using it for. Like, yeah. Oh, shit. When you start thinking about this stuff, man, it's, oh, it's so weird. Anyway, yeah, sorry. Before we get into news, though, let me say to everybody watching, listening to the podcast, you are very much welcome. If this is the first Empty Promise podcast you have tuned into, you are very welcome to our little but ever-growing community. We hope this podcast finds you well. And to returning listeners, thank you so much for tuning in week after week to what we have to say around this table. You can find the video version over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast, and the audio is available at any podcast hosting service. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. Okay. You got to hit me up with some news.
Yep. I got 1, 2, 3 pieces of news.
Excellent.
Keep it on the space theme, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
A British supermarket has launched a chicken nugget into space.
Okay.
Now, actually, yeah, you know what? I'm going to give you a couple of guesses as to who this is.
Okay.
Who's doing this? A British supermarket chain launched a chicken nugget into
so
space.
So when you say, okay, well, I guess now.
Do you have an idea?
Is it like Morrison's?
No.
Is it like the co-op?
Yeah.
See, when you said British supermarket chain, I wasn't thinking like it's going to be Tesco or Asda or something like that. I was thinking it's going to be like...
Oh, like quintessentially
British. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not quintessentially
British. So is it like Tesco?
Yeah, it's like Tesco. It's not Tesco.
Is it Asda?
Yeah. No.
Sainsbury's?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll read the article.
Yeah, read the article.
Scientists have launched plenty of people and things into space, like chimpanzees and dogs and whatnot, but a British supermarket is the first to send up a piece of breaded protein. I love that they don't call it breaded chicken, because they know it's not chicken.
It's not chicken, it's bread, just breaded protein. Just about protein, too. A terrible source.
To celebrate its 50th anniversary... Do you want to go one last guess?
50th anniversary?
Yeah.
What the hell has been open 50 years? Like NISA or something, is it?
Nah. Iceland.
Oh, gee. Iceland's been open 50 years?
Yeah. Nice. Iceland Food Limited, commonly known as Iceland, sent a chicken nugget into the cosmos. That's a bit much. The cosmos. Jesus Christ. a video released for the chain's viewers can watch the nuggets are sent into space. It was sent by this sent into space a group company. Okay. And they do like basically viral marketing by sending various objects into space.
Could we send one of our podcasts into space?
We could probably send like a USB stick with our podcast into space.
Oh, imagine it was found on like a different planet in years.
Well, this is the thing, Chris. It goes to an altitude of 110,000 feet, which is 33.5 kilometers, which is a region known as near space.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not so much.
Has that broke like the atmosphere and stratosphere? And
it has broken the atmosphere, yeah, but it's not into like what's commonly
orbit.
I forget the name of the. There's this line that they kind of go, once you're past that, you're officially like in space.
Okay.
It's 100 kilometers up. This is only 33.5 kilometers up, but it's so high up that temperatures drop to minus 65 degrees Celsius. Near space is the region between our livable atmosphere and outer space.
Oh.
And because they're roughly 12 miles up. The reason they did this? I mean, I don't understand how or why, but what better way to show that our products are out of this world than by sending one of our customer favorites into space? Andrew Staniland, Iceland's train director, told the Irish News.
All right. So they did it for wordplay, basically?
Pretty much.
For their marketing?
There is no other good reason to send anything into space. Like this kind of... Like
that kind of...
Up that high and then just strip back down. Like, yeah. You know, other than marketing and get a cool video out of it that you can kind of spread.
Now they can say that their... Well, can they say that their products have been to space?
They can say that chicken nugget has been to space. Near space.
Can they say... They can... So could they technically put on their boxes, like been to space or like...
Probably not.
Used in space or...
They could probably say like... No, they probably can't. Because then you would be expecting that box, that actual box was in space. Like the actual product you're about to eat was in space, which is not... I don't think
maybe they could put on the box, as seen in space.
Yeah, they could say that. Yeah.
Because as found in space. That's it, yeah.
They could definitely put out of this world on it.
Used on ISS? No, it's a bit far.
No, it's a bit much. Tends to make things up.
Yeah. Who's going to look into that, though?
There's that advertising agency, man. They're serious.
I know, yeah.
Serious about their shit. don't let shit like that fly, man. Never heard of this one. So COVID has kind of resurged in the UK and most of Europe, actually. But there's been different approaches on how to tackle it. And as a result of this, a Halloween drive-in cinema is in chaos now as the screen, which is located in England, but with toilets located across the border in Wales. And Wales is locked down. A Chester Arts Centre is scrambling to find a new venue for its Halloween drive-in movie after it came to light that the toilets to be used by filmgoers were across the Welsh border.
How did they not think about this when they... But why would they even... Why would it...
It's weird, but they initially were going for this Diva Stadium, home of Chester FC, which is on the... Basically, the stadium is in England, but the car park is split between England and Wales.
Okay.
Because there's no, like, border between England and Wales. It's just like Northern Ireland, Southern Republic of Ireland. It's just, like, there.
It's like a line.
They were planning to show Halloween films like Hocus Pocus, Halloween, which we talked about, and Beetlejuice. But it turns out that the Welsh border runs right through the middle of the stadium car park. While both the screen and Lewes were intended to be on the Welsh side, after the firebreak lockdown was announced for Wales between October 23rd to November 9th, organisers decided to move the cinema screen to the English half of the car park, but this still leaves the toilet facilities on the lockdown Welsh side. Organisers now fear they will have to cancel the event. If it does go ahead, however, police will be in attendance to ensure film goers do not stray over the border.
So they have to be 100% strict with this, despite the fact it's still in the car park's like vicinity. They cannot use those toilets.
The police are going to be there saying no.
I'm assuming it's like Portaloos? Or is it actual toilets?
Yeah. I think it's...
Can't they just move the Portaloos? Or is it actual toilets belonging to the stadium?
I think
stadium?
It is actually toilets belonging public to the stadium. Toilets? So
why did they just bring in Portaloos?
We could try to squeeze the screen into the smaller side of the smaller English side of the car park, but the Lewes are still in Wales. So our customers are going to be caught short or just caught at the border.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Very funny. I guess it's just going to cost too much to get Portaloos in. Like, I mean, they probably don't have a lot of money. I don't think that many people are going to attend drive-in cinemas for four different films, which are all really old.
I don't know. A lot of people doing, like, you know, drive-in haunted houses and things like that.
Yeah.
How does that even work? People just jump at your car and shit?
I don't know.
Like, what if they damage your car? You know?
What the
How do you get scared in a car?
You could be listening to, like, Katy Perry driving around your car.
There's nothing scary about that. Like, you know?
Just clueless. But I suppose, why would you go if you're going to listen to Katy Perry?
I'm going to go and not get scared, D.
I'm just going to be, I'm such a man's man.
Yeah. Jesus.
If I work. okay, so that was that. I finally have my concluding piece of news, which, of course, is about Nick Cage.
Thank you. I watched him during the week.
Oh, yeah, what'd you watch him?
Kick-Ass.
Yes, excellent.
Friday night.
I can't believe we forgot about that. Like, we always talk about Nick Cage movies. One of his best.
Tremendous movie.
Best performances.
Yeah. Oh, child.
A new interview with Nicolas Cage was done by an Interview Magazine, I think it's called.
Okay. Interview Weekly?
Interview Weekly? just called Interview, the magazine. Okay. I guess, whatever.
To the point, D. To the point.
Classic stacked actor having one fuck of a chat. Now, this is from this article, right? One heck of a chat with a longtime friend and recent some collaborator, Marilyn Manson.
Oh!
So apparently they're longtime friends, which is something I didn't know.
Okay.
Attempting to condense the results down into a passable aggregation piece would have been a massive disservice to this must-have experience. So if you want to get the full experience of Nick Cage's interview with Marilyn Manson.
So Manson is interviewing Cage or Cage is interviewing Manson?
No, Manson's interviewing Cage.
Okay.
Is that what
he does now? Does he interview people?
No, I think they just ask people. Will you interview? One famous person to interview another famous
person. That's
pretty
cool.
Yeah, just get both their opinions on things. Okay. But here's one takeaway from this interview, right? Asked by Manson if living in Las Vegas equates to a frequent habit of the local pastime, Cage detailed a moment from his approximately three decades in the past, which taught him to give up gambling for good.
Oh.
The last time I gambled, this is a quote from Cage, the last time I gambled was about 30 years ago. I was in the Bahamas and I walked into a casino and felt like I had my mojo with me, like nothing could go wrong. My game was roulette. I went in with $200 and I didn't miss a number. So much so that even the lady spinning the wheel said, Nothing sweeter than a repeater. In 20 minutes, I turned $200 into $20,000. Like, what? So I went and found an orphanage in the Bahamas, met all the kids and the headmistress, and said, this is for you. I put the 20 grand in her hand, walked away, and I never gambled again, because if I did, it would ruin the power of that moment.
You're joking.
The kid, Vertibum, that's what he said. What a gay!
So that's why he stopped gambling?
Because he won 20k, or yeah, 20k.
And just give it all to...
Give it to offers. He doesn't want to ruin that moment by, like, ever gambling again.
Oh, what a sweet story.
Right. That's wholesome. I was expecting something. When I heard gambling, yeah, again, I expected, like...
I thought you were going to say he, like...
Lost.
Lost the 20k and some.
Yeah, and then, like, 200k on top of it.
Holy shit.
No.
What a man, dude.
He's an enigma. He's an enigma.
Oh, he is just a national treasure.
Yeah, he is. So that's not really recent news about Nick Cage. It happened like 30 years ago, but
genuinely,
there's an interview with Marilyn Manson, Nick Cage. I don't know if that doesn't sound appealing to check out. Like, I don't know what does. I'm definitely gonna go find that and read it. See if I can get any other nuggets for next week.
I mean, yeah, Nick Cage nuggets.
Caging the Beast.
Yes,
I think I have some music for that segment.
I think. What about just a load of Nick Cage, like, quotes from movies and stuff, yeah, and just play it through? That'd be quite cool.
That would be good, actually.
I could get on that.
Yeah, we'll do that, definitely. Empty Promise Podcast.
Here we go. Another Empty Promise. Anyway, moving off. Thank you for that news, D.
No worries, terrific.
Yeah. You ready to jump into? You ready to hear a weird story?
Yes.
Okay. So I put up on the Instagram story this week whether people wanted to hear me tell the story of the Pontefract. Poltergeist or the Exorcism Murderer, and the Exorcism Murderer won by a clear landslide.
I voted for the Exorcism Murderer.
Good.
Yeah.
What was it that appealed to you?
I think it was the murderer.
Okay.
I think it's the combination of, like, Exorcist, which is like, yeah, paranormal, weird, kind of, you know, in the ether, is what's happening, is it real, is it not? Mm-hmm. And then Murderer, which is very much so
yeah,
like someone got killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that interests me.
It's a pretty recent story, 1970s, and it's from England.
Relatively recent, I guess.
The
history of humanity is pretty recent. Like, that's 50 years ago.
Yeah. No, 70s. 40 years ago.
1970.
Where are we?
2020, 50 years.
Oh, shit, yeah, right.
Not crazy, no. Like.
Yeah, 50 years ago. Yeah.
Well, if it was... Well,
it's 74, sorry.
Okay, 74. Well, then it's... Yeah. Okay, it's 46 years ago. Yeah. Jesus Christ. So we're not four rounding in this podcast. It's not all about precision.
And then we should have rounded down.
No, you don't round down.
At four, you round down.
It's 46, though.
Oh, yeah, 46. but 74,
nah.
I'll round down.
Nah.
I'm so fucking confused. Anyway, tremendous story. Feel free to jump in at any point with questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. I've read this a couple of times during the week just to familiarize myself with whereabouts I'm actually going to go with this. But this is the Osset Exorcist Murderer.
Osset.
Osset being a place in Barnsley, I believe, in England.
I was hoping it was going to be England.
Yeah.
It just seems creepy.
It is creepy.
For exorcisms. It's a weird story.
I'm going to start with a quote that came from the chief police inspector of the KSD. And I'm probably going to use this as our little intro for the audio version. So, hold on, everyone. Here is the Exorcism Murderer.
Hold on your butts.
There. There's not much of her left. You don't want to see it.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh my God. That sounds like it's straight out of a movie.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see
this. That's good acting.
Thank you. Thank you.
We could definitely recreate this.
Yeah, we could, right? In 1974... In a case that shocked the nation, a particularly violent and shocking murder was committed by a peaceful and loving family man who was overcome either by inner demons or literal ones. Osset is a market town near the city of Wakefield in the English country of West Yorkshire, and the kind of town that wouldn't strike most people as the sort of place where a sensational, bloody, horrific murder would an exorcism, talk of an exorcism and demonic possession would stem from. But it is in Osset where the sinister story begins. The Taylor family called the Osset district of Havercroft their home in 1974. And this family consisted of 31-year-old Michael Taylor, his wife Christine, their five children, and their family dog. The family and their home was considered mostly a cheerful and happy one by their friends and neighbours. And Michael, in particular, was described by those who knew him as a mild-mannered and generally kind and loving father and husband. It was noted, however, that he was sometimes prone to minor bouts of depression, the cause of which had been due to a severe back injury he had received a number of years before, and which had left him with chronic pain and an inability to find long-term employment. Apart from this observation, nothing else seemed to be amiss or unusual in the Taylor household. At the time, Ossett had a highly religious population, and most people regularly attending church, but the Taylors had never been particularly devout, mostly skipping church services that were held near where they lived. In a belief that Michael's periods of depression could be somehow eased with a spiritual intervention, a friend of Michael's called Barbara Wardman took it upon herself to introduce him to a church group called the Christian Fellowship Group, which was led by 21-year-old pastor Marie Robinson.
What?
21-year-old?
That's but
it's quite young.
Yeah. When I hear that, I'm kind of thinking like, I don't want to like make too many assumptions, but kind of cultish, like a young kind of.
So I looked into this, and this area was Anglican.
Yeah.
Real like devout Anglican.
Yeah.
And they it just so happened, actually. Yeah. Let me just bring this up. It just so happened that in 1974, the Church of England set up the Deliverance Ministry as part of its creation. Every diocese in the country was equipped with a team trained in both exorcism and psychiatry.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
According to its representatives, most cases brought before it had conventional explanations, and actual exorcisms are quite rare. Blessings, though, are sometimes given to people for psychological reasons. So this was set up by this diocese. And the Anglican Church is, because I was reading this thinking, like, would the Pope authorize this? But the Anglican Church has nothing to do with
Catholic,
the Pope.
Yeah.
No, their head is like the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
So as the story goes on, you'll kind of see, but I was a bit confused by why... Well, where the authority came for this in the first place, but we'll see as we go on.
That's interesting.
Whereas Michael had previously been non-religious, he soon began to attend regular meetings of the group, and he became an active member of the congregation. He became well acquainted with their teachings and quickly fell under the spell of the charismatic Marie Robinson.
It's a cult, man. I can tell. 20-year-old charismatic leader. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. Satanists.
Michael began spending what seemed an inappropriate amount of time with Robinson, attending more and more meetings and gatherings of the group, and joining Robinson in congregations where they would use, quote, the power of God to, quote, exorcise people of their sins and speak in tongues.
Mm.
So yeah, you're starting to feel more and more like kind of culty here.
And what was the name of Robinson's group? She's not like church, she's like
some sort of Christian fellowship group.
The Christian fellowship group. Okay. I don't want to just say like, oh, this is definitely a cult, in case like that is like a big organization or something that's not a cult. But I don't know, I'm getting some culty vibes from this Marie Robinson girl.
Michael and Marie also began to engage in private rituals in which both Michael and Robinson would stay up all night making the sign of the cross at each other in order to ward off what they believed was the evil power of the full moon. Yeah.
Okay, this is messed up.
In fact, it soon became clear to the rest of the congregation that Michael had become rather enamored with Robinson. Unsurprisingly, Michael's attitude at home towards his family began to change as a result. He was spending less and less time at home with them, and when he was there, he was sullen and irritable and very argumentative. This was a total character change from the easygoing and peaceful way Michael had once been, and the assumption was that the church group was somehow exerting a negative influence on him. The character change and increasingly bizarre beliefs, erratic behavior, and bad attitude was clear to see to anyone who knew him. But most notably to Christine Taylor, on whom it was not lost that Michael had an infatuation with Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
During one congregation, Christine suddenly decided to publicly confront Michael about his relationship with Robinson and openly accuse him in front of people of being unfaithful. So she just had enough one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Full congregation. Now, if it already didn't sound bad or strange enough, it was at this point where Michael's behavior would take a turn for the worst. Michael is reported to have felt, quote, an evil influence cast a shadow over him, and then, compelled by this force, vented a sudden fury unsurprisingly not Christine, but Robinson. He lashed out at her verbally and physically to the point that several other churchgoers in the congregation had to physically restrain him, fearing that he would seriously hurt himself or someone else.
Jesus.
Perhaps as a good example of the religious mania that was running through the group, Marie Robinson herself later testified as to what happened when Michael attacked her. She said, "I suddenly glanced at Mike and his whole features changed. He looked almost bestial. He kept looking at me and there was a really wild look in his eyes. I started screaming at him out of fear. I started speaking in tongues. Mike also screamed at me in tongues. I was on the verge of death and I seemed to come to my senses. I knew that only the name of Jesus would save me and I started saying over and over again, Jesus. When Christine heard me calling the name of Jesus, she started saying it too. And I believe firmly that that was the only thing, by calling on his name, that I was not killed."
So she was speaking in tongues.
He was speaking in tongues.
Attacking her.
Yeah.
This is fucking weird. Like this, I'm tired. This Marie Robinson girl, I don't trust her. Mm-mm. I don't trust her one bit.
I don't trust the whole organization.
I feel like she's spitting tongues at him to get him like riled up or something.
Tongues is a weird thing, dude.
I feel like she's in his head, man. I don't know. I want to hear the rest before I make that judgment. Okay. I think she's in his head.
Michael would later claim to have absolutely no memory of this incident. Surprisingly, despite this frightening, violent outburst, the following day, Michael was to receive full forgiveness and a church absolution from Robinson for what had happened. But none of the rest of the congregation could forget the outburst, and Michael was closely watched following this episode. It soon became apparent that his deteriorating, out-of-character behaviour seemed to now be permanent and was in fact getting worse as time went on, with his sanity clearly slipping. The seriousness and frightening condition that Michael was in was so severe that several local ministers became involved and came to the realisation that Michael might be under the influence of demonic forces. So they're now saying that because this guy was so easygoing and now he's kind of let this all get to him.
Such a personality change
that he may be under. I mean, it sounds quite crazy when you think of that. That's just the assumption that they go straight to. Yeah.
Because like, you say that today, you kind of think maybe he had like some sort of like bipolar.
Exactly. In the 70s, like it was completely different.
Yeah. They just wouldn't even consider that type of stuff.
Yeah. Finally, the local vicar came to the controversial conclusion that an exorcism should be performed on Michael. So two ministers by the names of Father Peter Vincent and the Reverend Raymond Smith were brought in to carry it out. And the exorcism was set to happen from midnight on the 5th of October, 1974, at St. James Church in Barnsley. I know.
Midnight.
I know. I read that myself and I thought, why it started at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, bright.
Sun's coming up.
Everyone's about.
Jesus.
Yeah. And the thing about this as well is, after reading into it a bit further from the story, this was actually carried out in front of a congregation as well. So this was carried out in like a church.
So people came to like watch.
It wasn't actually a private. I kind of get the feeling that it was carried out almost on like an altar, maybe, which seems very kind of ritualistic.
It does, but then like I guess isn't it kind of like we need the power of prayer? You know, they need people to come and like kind of support or whatever.
Yeah.
Because my impression of the exorcism was always like, and it's based off of the Exorcist movie.
Just in a room.
In the house.
Away from people. Yeah.
No. I guess this kind of makes sense because it's almost like a blessing or something. It's like a church service that's been done.
So that night in front of the congregation of the Christian Fellowship Group, the two ministers began the harrowing ritual, which would prove to last throughout the night and well into the next morning. As soon as the exorcism had started, Michael went into uncontrollable convulsions and fits and bouts of scratching, spitting and biting, requiring him to be forcefully tied to the floor. Over the next 8 hours, Michael was subject to all sorts of indignities, such as having crucifixes shoved in his mouth and being doused with holy water. All throughout, Michael was growling and snapping at anyone who came near him. The priests in charge of the exorcism claimed that the ceremony had managed to ascertain that there were about 40 demons inhabiting Michael's body, wow, representing such traits as incest, bestiality, blasphemy, lewdness, heresy, and carnal knowledge. As one can imagine, these alleged demons did not go easily from Michael, each one having to be reportedly dragged out kicking and screaming. After 8 hours of this, by 8 a.m. on October 6th, 1974, the priests carrying out the exorcism could no longer continue through exhaustion.
That is insane.
Isn't it?
Tied them down.
Crucifixes in the mouth.
Like, what?
Douse in holy water.
And he was just, like, screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God. That's creepy.
Strangely, it was decided that the exorcism would have to be finished at a later time.
So they only did half of it.
Yeah, pretty much. Although the priests claimed that three demons, those of insanity, anger, and murder, were still stubbornly possessing Michael and had not been successfully removed yet. Now,
those are the ones you probably wanted to get rid of first.
Exactly. Let's just think about that. Why would you ever think that this should be continued later with those three demons still stuck in this man?
It all sounds a bit hokey, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like the whole, like, yeah, we definitely got rid of, like, you know, the carnal thoughts and
lust and
all that's gone for sure. But murder's probably is still in there. Like, they couldn't possibly, like,
they can't know that kind of thing. Yeah.
Like,
you know?
That's like that. It sounds to me like these guys are like, you know, yeah, we know what we're doing, definitely. Yeah. And they all agree, like, we all agree that we got rid of lust, so that's gone.
Yeah.
They haven't, like, yeah. No idea. Like, yeah, exactly. And there's 40 demons. That number was just plucked right out of there. Like, that was just...
Why is there 40? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. 40 is a number that is used over and over in the Bible. Yeah.
You're right, it is.
There you go. So,
40 days, 40 nights. Yeah. You're right.
40 is just a given number, so it could be anything. There could be 40,000, there could be 10, whatever.
It's just a way of saying there's a lot, isn't it?
There's a lot, yeah. Apparently, the congregation who had been present for the exorcism agreed in part for one witness to the terrifying events. A minister's wife named Margaret Smith was to claim later that she had received a warning in her mind from what she believed to be God, saying that the demon of murder was going to escape from Michael and kill Christine. She pleaded with the two priests to complete the exorcism, but they dismissed her. They dismissed her warnings and instead told Michael and Christine to go home, rest, and prepare for the next and final part of the exorcism, which will be performed the following day. Yeah.
So they're being begged.
They're being begged by this lady from the congregation who has seen through a vision from what she thought was God, saying that this demon. Yeah. Now, whether there really were demons still infesting Michael Taylor's body or not, or whether he had succumbed to a full-on psychosis and had been tipped over the edge by the events of that night, what would follow that day was nothing short of pure evil and insanity. It was about 9:45 the next morning, October 7th, and not 2 hours after Michael and Christine had been sent home to rest up to prepare for the next part of the exorcism, that a police patrol car passing through the normally quiet streets of Ossett came upon a shocking and unnerving sight. Coming around a corner, the officer in the car, PC Ian Walker, was confronted by the sight of a man stumbling around in the middle of the street, naked and covered head to toe in blood.
Oh, holy shit.
His body was slicked with it. Stopping the car and approaching the man, PC Walker saw the man curl into the fetal position and heard him ranting and screaming over and over, "It's the blood of Satan."
Jesus Christ.
Unsurprisingly, this had attracted a crowd of onlookers, some of which knew the disturbed man. It was Michael Taylor. The police officers who had approached the man immediately called for an ambulance, fearing that Michael had hurt himself or someone else, and tried his best to talk and calm Michael, who was still screaming and senseless, ranting on and on about Satan. He continued screaming as the ambulance from the local hospital arrived and he was placed into it and taken away. The crowd of onlookers who had crowded around the ambulance now told the police that the deranged maniac was Michael Taylor, and given the officer his address, to which the patrol car then went to. PC Walker, upon arrival at the Taylor house, was surprised and perhaps apprehensive to find a police car already there, which he later found out had been summoned for by the frightened neighbours who had heard a commotion. PC Walker approached the house but was stopped by the sight of his inspector, emerging from the front door, bending over and vomiting.
Oh shit.
"You don't want to see this one, son. It's like nothing I've seen before, and I've seen a few. It's the wife. She's got no... Well, he's ripped at her, son. It's a right mess in there. There's not much of her left. You don't want to see it."
Fucking hell.
Feeling that he had to go in, PC Walker stepped inside the Taylor house to see exactly what had shook his inspector. The interior of the front room was destroyed, with signs of destruction apparent even from a cursory look. Blood covered every surface of the room, along with flesh, pulp, and brain matter. and on the floor of the living room lay the bodies of Christine Taylor and the family pet dog, almost unrecognizable. Whoa. The blood that had covered Michael Taylor's was Christine's blood. At about 9:30 that morning, in the Taylor family home, Michael had killed his wife Christine, the woman that he loved, and the mother of his children. In a deranged attack, Michael had stripped off and strangled Christine and had literally torn off her face.
Oh my God.
There was no murder weapon involved. He had gouged out her eyes and ripped out her tongue with his bare hands, tearing the rest of her face down to the bone. So much so that she was left completely unrecognizable. Whilst Christine had died of shock and asphyxiation on her own blood, mercifully quickly, Michael had turned his attention to the Taylor's pet dog, strangling it and literally ripping it limb from limb.
Fucking hell.
He had torn its legs from their sockets and hair and teeth and eyes from the skull. He then left the house screaming and was found by PC Walker a short time later. It was described as the most horrific crime scene that any police officer who had attended was ever to see. Michael was taken into police custody from the hospital, and when interviewed some hours later, when he was deemed rational to talk, he was asked to try to explain what had happened. He told Detective Inspector Brian Smith about the exorcism that had occurred only hours before, saying, "It was a long night. They danced around me and burned my cross because that was tainted with evil. They had me in the church all night. Look at my hands. I was banging on the floor. The power was in me. I couldn't get rid of it, and neither could they. They were too late. I was compelled by a force within me to destroy everything living within the house." Although Michael claimed he could remember nothing of the actual murder, claiming to deeply love his wife, when asked by D.I. Simon how he felt, Michael replied, "Released. I am released. It is done. The evil in her has been destroyed."
The evil in her?
Mm-hmm. Although he appeared to have no motive for his actions, Michael Taylor was charged with the murder of Christine Taylor and was remanded to Broadmoor Secure Hospital in Berkshire to await trial. Whilst on remand, Michael was reported to have spent most of the time in silence or sleeping. Perhaps some part of him never wanted to face what had happened and how 5 children in the space of a single day lost a mother and a father. The crime was a sensation. Horror such as this belongs in fiction and should not happen anywhere, let alone in a sleepy Yorkshire market town. It created a media frenzy, and the bloody crime, coupled with the background of exorcisms and alleged demonic possession, drew huge amounts of interest to Michael Taylor's upcoming trial. Michael Taylor's trial for the murder of his wife Christine began in March 1975, and upon it commencing, the jury were advised by the barrister for the prosecution, Mr. Geoffrey Baker, that the evidence that they were about to hear, quote, "will make it difficult to believe that you are not back in the Middle Ages." Neither prosecution nor defense denied at the trial that Michael Taylor had severe mental issues. Michael himself testified against claiming that he had no recollection of the actual killing, that he had deeply loved his wife and had been under the control of evil supernatural forces, and that he had suspected that Christine had also been possessed by demons. He offered no other explanation. The linchpin of his defense was the discrediting of the Christian Fellowship group and the Anglican and Methodist priests who had carried out the exorcism. Mr. Ognall, for the defense, claimed that the Christian Fellowship prayer group was actually more of a fanatical cult and had managed to influence Michael by using potent mind control.
That's right.
And indoctrination, feeding his already existing mental issues. At one point, he described the group as neurotics, feeding neurosis to a neurotic.
This, mm-hmm. I agree with this. What's the name of these people? Christian Fellowship Group?
Yeah.
Podcast on these fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
These guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
That would be a good one, actually.
The whole time that was in my head. That this cult. What's the name of that girl? Maria?
Maria Robinson?
Maria Robinson. Even like whenever he attacked her, like she was, she incited that. Like she was in his head.
And this was a man who was already, suffering from like mental, depression.
They just preyed on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so continue the story.
Blame was also apportioned to the exorcism itself. The prosecution claimed that the ritual had taken its toll on an already mentally disturbed man, and coupled with the warped religious ideals and beliefs that the prayer group had instilled in him, These negative influences had pushed Michael over the edge into a realm of madness and murder. Mr. Ognall made an impassioned personal statement during the trial that illustrated just how much responsibility the church was viewed to have held in this horrific crime, saying, "I am aware that it is generally regarded as improper for an advocate to express any personal feeling or opinion about the case in which he is engaged. I am afraid I find it quite impossible to observe such constraints in this case. Let those who truly are responsible for this killing stand up. We submit that Taylor is a mere cipher. The real guilt lies elsewhere. Religion is the key. Those who have been referred to in evidence, and those clerics in particular, should be with him in spirit now in this building and each day he is incarcerated in Broadmoor, and not least on the day he must endure the bitter reunion with his 5 motherless children." The jury found Michael Taylor not guilty of the murder of his wife by reason of insanity. Deemed to be both clinically and legally insane, he was sent to Broadmoor Secure Hospital, where he would remain for 2 years, followed by another 2-year sentence at Bradford Royal Infirmary, before being released back into the world, apparently cured.
Whoa.
Yeah. The aftermath of the trial was a public outcry over the use of exorcisms within the church, and indeed this became the last recorded exorcism to be carried out by the Anglican Church.
I can see why.
But they defended themselves to the full. Throughout the trial, and in the years following it, the chief Anglican priest who had been in charge of Michael's exorcism, Father Peter Vincent, continued to insist that Michael Taylor had indeed been inhabited by demons, and that the Ossett case had indeed been an authentic case of demonic possession. Pardon me. Father Vincent's career in the church was unaffected following the case, and even he seemed to be almost having little consideration for a family destroyed and the horror of what happened. He would only simply say, "God will bring good out of this in his own way." It was only Peter Vincent's partner in the exorcism, the Reverend Raymond Smith, that seemed to admit that the situation had not been handled well and that the exorcism had indeed failed. He was quoted as saying, "If people come to me in trouble of any kind, I will try to help. I will give such comfort as I could, but I am only an ordinary human being with human feelings." After his release from hospital, it is reported that Michael Taylor went back to live in Ossett, although one can only wonder at the relationship he would have back there after such horror. How does a person begin to start again after such horror? Michael would continue to display odd behavior and suffer bouts of depression, as well as making a total of 4 suicide attempts over the following years, still haunted by his actions that October morning. These involved cutting his wrists and jumping from a bridge, in which he badly injured his back and legs. Surprisingly, for such a sensational and chilling crime, he dropped out of the news and the public eye for many years. But in 2005, Michael would enter the news again in July when he was arrested for sexually harassing and having inappropriate conduct with an underage girl. During his court hearing on these charges, Taylor was said to have told police that it was all his fault, and then said, "Am I going to Broadmoor for murdering my wife?"
Oh God.
Taylor had spent a week in custody over the sexual assaults, and during his incarceration, the psychiatric problems that had existed in 1975 had manifested themselves once again. Upon being bailed, however, they had disappeared. His previous charges from 30 years before were deemed to have no bearing on the current case, and he was deemed to have a low to medium risk of reoffending. This led him to a relatively light sentence of a 3-year stint of community service, but with a condition of psychiatric treatment. The case of Michael Taylor and the Ossett exorcist murder raises many questions for debate. Many people connected with this Ossett murder will have debated different points long and hard over the years, but they still have to remember and think about it. 5 children who undoubtedly have families of their own now lost a mother in a horrific way that they will never forget. How do you even begin to rebuild your lives following such horrific events? Michael Taylor himself has been tortured by not being able to understand his actions, that he has attempted suicide 4 times. Members of the jury and the court who sat through the trial will never forget what must have been some of the most horrific crime scene photographs ever shown in a court, and disturbing and frightening accounts that they would ever hear. But perhaps the effect that the case was to have on people is best summed up by an account given by PC Ian Walker when interviewed about the case by one of his officers on the scene after his retirement. He said, "Of all the incidents in which I was involved in 30 years of police work, nothing affected me like this one. The stupidity and futility of it all, the complete and utter waste of life and destruction of a family, not to mention the death and other traumas, are far from beyond anything else I have ever come across. Obviously, my wife asked questions, but there are some things that you do not take home, and this was one of them. However, within the next 24 to 48 hours, the news hit the national newspapers and the TV bulletins. You just bury it and get on with your life as best you can. Before this event, I was agnostic, and now I was an atheist."
Oh my God.
And that is the Ossett Exorcism murder.
That is just shocking in every regard.
It's some crazy story, D, yeah?
Oh my God, like, I feel like, yeah, I kind of do feel bad for this Taylor guy. Like, I feel like
he was clearly suffering.
This, yeah, he was crying, but like, yeah, I think he's the victim here as much as his wife nearly. Like, I think that's bizarre.
Like, as you said, like, he was preyed upon by this, yeah, this Marie Robinson. And this fellowship group, and he obviously had, you know, he suffered from depression and he had other
underlying mental health issues. But like, he went like, what, like 30 or 40 years kind of almost like, quote unquote, normal. Like, yeah, you know, things didn't manifest themselves in such a way. But then whenever it did and he kind of like was looking for help, this fucking Christian fellowship group come in and Marie Robinson and start speaking tongues with him and convince him about demons and all this stuff.
I mean, you have to point some kind of blame as well at the priests, the clergy that were carrying that out. Like, as you say, like, even if you don't completely understand, like, these demons, that these so-called demons that have been pulled out of him, you know, they're saying that murder and, what was the other one that was still left in him? Like, anger, murder, and something else were still left in him.
Yeah, yeah. They knew they were.
Even if you have a smidgen of a doubt, like, you don't send that person home with his wife and go, we'll pick this up later. Yeah, you know,
pick this up later.
Especially when a member of the clergy has said that she's had a vision that she believes from God. Now, okay, when you hear that, you might be thinking, you know, just another hocus pocus kind of account.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, these people are deeply religious, you know?
Do you know what? You told me that part, you read that part, like, my interpretation of that wasn't even that she got a message from God. Like, I think that is just, like, people are intuitive. People can recognize, like, you can't let it. Like,
if you send him
up. This man has been sleep deprived, didn't sleep. You started at midnight, went through all through the nights. So hasn't slept. Yeah. He's been tied down. You've pretty much tortured him.
Shove crucifixes, you know, like, in
that's
his
mental
mouth.
Torture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For this night. Or mentally, or, like, you know, it's pretty obvious this guy was having, like, some sort of mental difficulties.
Yeah.
And you want to send him home with his wife. I'm guessing the children weren't in the house.
No.
Right, so that that's probably purposeful. The children were being kept somewhere.
Thank God.
Else. Yeah,
you know,
because someone had the fucking common sense to say he shouldn't be in the house with his children right now.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like the church, like the pastors who were involved in this, like that is just so.
It's pretty shoddy on their behalf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
shoddy priest work, parochial work.
Even if he was possessed by a demon, right? If this is what the case was. And they let that happen. Like, he just went home. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's insane.
They didn't give him the aftercare. They didn't give him, like...
No.
They treated him not like a human. He was just like a vessel for demons. And that's all they cared about.
But needless to say, that was the last exorcism to be performed in the Anglican Church.
I can believe it.
Oh, yeah.
But that was such a brutal, brutal murder.
And the fact that it only happened in the 70s as well, D.
Yeah, like, it's not like you had a recount told by someone who heard it from someone. So,
no,
about something
as you say, it's pretty recent, 40, 50 years ago.
It's a police counts.
Yeah.
There's a court case.
It's one of the,
it's in the media.
It's one of the best documented cases of quote-unquote exorcism.
Horrendously botched.
Yeah.
Exorcism.
Yeah. Crazy.
But yeah, like I am telling you, I am so convinced that this Christian fellowship group were like
just a complete cult.
A cult preying on him, using him, and, like, you know, weakening him and making him susceptible to these thoughts and doing whatever. And then the guy obviously was identified as needing help, and he got that help, and then he got eventually got released and kind of lived with it the rest of his life, never got away from it.
Crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. Like,
and the dog as well. I mean, yeah, as you say, like, thankfully the kids mustn't have been in the house.
Because
that could have been, it was bad, it could have been a whole lot worse.
The quote that I heard you say was, like, he felt that he needed to kill every living thing in the house. And I was, at that point, I was like, well, kids obviously were not there.
Yeah.
Because we would have heard about the five kids being ripped to pieces as well.
Christ. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Some heinous.
That is
heinous
heavy.
Thing. Yeah, it is
that
heavy.
That is super heavy.
Well, let's pick it up a bit after that, because that was quite heavy.
We're gonna do Christian Fellowship Group, because that is
Christian Fellowship. There's
that's culty as fuck.
Hang on, I've got another group here that we're actually gonna do, Dee, that I've been doing a little bit of research off in some of my spare time, because I think it'll make a good topic for us. The Order of the Solar Temple.
Oh my God!
Now that wasn't. Now, if you want to talk, like, if you want to talk culty, these guys were like top tier culty.
I'm gonna write down Christian thingy group.
Mm-hmm. Christian Fellowship Group, definitely. But yeah, we hope that you enjoyed your choice of topic this week. The Osset exorcism.
Do you believe in exorcisms?
Yeah,
let us know. Like, a lot of people do, and a lot of people don't. Let us know what you think about that.
We could cover the main, like, the main.
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist, yeah.
What's her name, Ellie?
It was a girl, but I think that one was actually a guy. It was Timothy someone, I think, was his name.
Oh, that's who it's based on?
Yeah. Yeah, Timothy someone, well? I think, is the name.
We should have done that for this one. But that was weird as well. There was a quote that he came out with. At some point, Taylor said something in that.
Michael Taylor there?
Yeah, like he released the evil. Yeah, I feel released.
I feel released.
Yeah. Man, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Hearing this stuff, like.
Well, before we move on, remember that you can get in touch with us each and every week to let us know your thoughts, opinions, and send us your community questions, of which we will touch on now in a second. But we'd love to hear from you, even with, like, topic suggestions for, like, main podcast episodes.
Yep, definitely.
Because we love that you got involved this week and let us know that you wanted to hear that story. But, like, if we get a couple of, you know, proper topic suggestions that cover this would be a good topic. I'd love to dive into some of that, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
We don't get us wrong. We have a massive list to get through. But, I mean, yeah, it's nice to hear from you what you want to hear yourself. But, yeah, all that being said, Dee, let's get a bit lighter. We got some community questions this week. By the way, what is your monster like?
Watermelon is the big takeaway I'm
getting.
Oh,
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, watermelon.
Makes sense because it's green.
And I have blue, and you have a blue mic topper, and I have a green mic topper.
My God, we bridged the gap.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. What does yours taste like? Take little sips.
Like blue bonbons, almost.
Mmm. Mm. Our first place was Parma Violets.
Oh, Parma.
And then I kind of expanded on that, and I thought kind of like Love Hearts and you know the wee fizzy ones?
Fizzers.
Fizzers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Parma Violets.
Oh,
they're
a very
divided sweet.
Oh, really?
Very divided.
Most people enjoy Parma.
A lot of people think they taste like soap.
You're right. You've said that before, yeah.
If soap tastes like that, I'd eat soap.
Oh, yeah.
I love the taste of
Parma. By the bar.
Yeah. By the Parma Violets should do a bar.
Parma Violets, I am pretty sure they do a soap. Like, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, like a bath bomb kind of thing?
No, like a hand wash soap. They do, like... You can get, like, Love Hearts. You can get...
Do you want to be terrific?
You can get Tutti Frutti.
Oh.
You get Parma Violets.
Yes, I've seen some of them, actually, I think. We used to have a chocolate orange hand wash.
Oh, sick. Well, chocolate.
Chocolate orange is terrific. Good,
That's like... Remember Chocolate Lynx or, like...
Oh, yeah. Dark Temptations
Dark
is what
Temptations
it's called.
Dark Temptations is right. That's what it's called.
If we could get a Parma Violet candle...
I had a Parma Violet candle.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my days.
Got it out of I think I got it out of like Home Bargains, Chris.
Oh.
Back in the day.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, we got it at Home Bargains. It was like it was definitely Parma Violet. I'm nearly certain that I brought it.
I love scents. I love different scents.
Yeah, we should have brought it down.
For our next and final spooky episode, we gotta get a Halloween candle. The orange candle. The old orange candle. I think it's lasted us so many years.
We have a Halloween candle, don't
we? Yeah, we had it. Like, it was like one of our first candles that we ever used up in the Killigola studio. Then we took it here and we just burned it from time to time. And I'm pretty sure I put it away with like Halloween decor.
Okay, fair enough. It's a Halloween candle. Mm-hmm. That's good then.
Okay, community questions this week. The first one coming from Jolly Bearded Promotions this week. And he asks,
ooh.
Are you guys all coming to my show in January? Sorry, January?
January?
I didn't mean to laugh at that one there. You guys all coming to my show in January? So he has an art exhibition in the marketplace in Armagh.
Oh, right. Very good.
Photography exhibition, sorry, in the marketplace in Armagh.
He's a jolly bit of a photographer.
He is. His stuff's really, really cool. I have said that I would like to get a piece of his work for the studio here.
Oh, that
it's all
nice.
Like, have you seen it before? I'll tag you in some of it. It's all like action figures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you told me about yeah.
In like real world kind of environments. Yeah. It's really, really cool stuff.
Yes.
But yes, I will, of course, at one point or other, be in to see the work in the marketplace in Armagh.
I'll go too.
Yeah, it's January.
Like, yeah, we'll do a podcast on it.
Yeah, got nothing else to do in January. He's also said about he'd love to be a guest on the show. We can make that happen at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right here.
Right here. We got two more seats.
I just smacked the desk. Apologies for everyone listening to that. That's my bad.
There we go. But yes, thank you for the question this week. And yes, we will be at your show in January. Yeah, I'll link his stuff in our story on Instagram. There we go.
There you go.
Yeah. Were we going to point out there?
Nothing. I was just going to say, yeah, there you go.
All right, okay.
I was going to reach for my drink and then I don't know why I started. There you go.
Next one comes from Pod Source, who have got in touch with us before with a question a couple of weeks ago, another follower on Instagram. One show guest each. Who are you asking?
Dead or alive, I wonder?
I guess so. We have another question like that coming up.
One guest.
No.
Nick Cage?
Oh.
I think it would probably be Nick Cage. You have to do Nick Cage, just because what we've begun here.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
would culminate. Nick. We'd have to end the podcast after it. That would have to be the final
That would be
episode.
The end of Empty Promise.
Yeah, we would just finish it.
We'd just have to rebrand then.
Yeah.
Rebrand to Half Tanked and Full of Cheese. Or Any God-Given Teal. We have so many.
Don't worry, we have no end of the list of names, so.
The Dharma Initiative.
Oh yeah, we've got plenty of options.
Nick Cage would be pretty good. Outside of Nick Cage, who do you think?
Oh, I don't know. That's hard.
Is there anybody in particular you'd just like to pick their brains?
See, that's part of it. I'd like to like maybe find someone who's like really kind of interesting, like Elon Musk or something. Like
yeah.
That. Just someone really fucking interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
But part of me would want to go for someone like one of the funniest, like Jim Carrey maybe. Or like,
oh, Jim Carrey would be awesome.
Or like Conan O'Brien. I think those people, I just think they're the funniest fuckers. Beings, like, yeah. I love those guys.
You want to sit down and laugh just, for like
yeah,
2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Just have someone across from you who just like cracks you up constantly.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
It'd just be a joyous experience, I think.
Shit, I should have thought about this one more.
Yeah, you had time to think about it too.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to do an episode with like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's a good one, yeah.
Because he would just have so many cool stories.
He's like such I mean, you'd obviously be interested from even from like the body like lift, bodybuilding, yeah, fitness
things, yeah.
perspective. But I'm more interested in that guy just because he seems like such a like a
his life story.
Yeah. Like, he seems like a fun granda.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy, you know
what I
mean? All these stories you can tell, but he's like kind of like, you know, like. Go live your dream.
Yeah.
Well. It seems like such a cool.
I think that's another one. We probably have to just finish after any of these big guests. Like,
Then we would just change. We just change it to a podcast that interviews big guests.
Yeah. Have you got any actors or actresses you'd like to bring on? Amanda Seyfried. At one point, I think we could have got on because we talked about her for like 3 weeks straight back in the old days. I wouldn't want her on.
Tom Hanks, I think, would be, or Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise would be a fascinating one, I think.
Tom Cruise would be pretty cool.
I'm a fan of Tom Cruise. Not the Scientology stuff, but pretty much everything else. Tim Hanks?
Tim Hanks would be pretty good. Fuck, what's her name? Anna Kendrick. I'd love Anna Kendrick on here. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Anna Kendrick.
I am a big fan of Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, okay, good. Just as long as we establish that,
yeah.
Good, that's been established. No longer feel... Like, I have to,
have to hide this from the world.
Thank God. Yeah, Anna Kendrick can come on here anytime.
Oh, more than welcome.
Maybe tag her in this.
You think?
See if she wants to make a journey, you know? There's definitely more.
Here's one that would be tremendous. Mm. I can't think of his name for some. Christopher Nolan.
Oh, shit.
And Hans Zimmer.
Oh, Hans Zimmer would be awesome. Michael Giacchino. Yeah. When we seen him, he just seemed like a pretty
rational.
Jorge Garcia. Let's get him on. We'll just get our picture with him like a summer. That's nothing, you know.
It's no big deal. We talk to him all the time.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool as well, actually.
We were talking to him the day after he got married, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
That's how close we are with him.
Yeah, yeah. Just talk about the wedding and stuff, you know, for like all of 5 seconds. But it was nice. It was nice just to get caught up with old friends.
Jorge. Yeah, no, I think that's a great question,
though. Yeah, it's a fucking tremendous question.
Do you think we'd ever put the work in to actually make any of these happen? Like, I mean, which out of the ones we've said so far, is any of them really... Maybe Michael Giacchino. No, not really.
Any on the verge? I think of all of them, I think Jorge is probably our best bet. Probably, I think he leads a pretty simple, grounded, down-to-earth life. He's not like... Yeah. Don't get me wrong, like A-list celebrity, you know? Yeah. I think he leads a very quiet, humble life.
It's kind of like, he's not like, you talk about people like Chris Nolan, like, I mean, how are you going to get that person over away from all the projects that they're doing? Or Hans Zimmer, indeed.
I mean, like, we could Skype him in.
You could Skype them in, that's true. But even to get them to find an hour, like, you know. Whereas if you have like a working actor, or a guy who's like,
From what I see on Instagram nowadays, these guys have plenty of fucking hours, I mean, they're doing some mundane shit for celebrities, you know?
I guess we should say to them, you got plenty of fucking time.
Yeah, just...
I've seen your Instagram.
Yeah.
Just come on. You're doing nothing.
There's a couple of, like fitness kind of... Not even influencers, but people who I thoroughly enjoy and follow that I would like to have on. Rich Roll being one of them. Because his story is fantastic. And he's just a major inspiration.
So long as you don't want Walter Goggins, we're good. Is it Walter Goggins? Yeah.
Dave Goggins.
Is it Dave Goggins?
Yeah, Dave.
Who's Walter Goggins?
Walter Goggins is
he's like an actor. Or
I looked. Yeah. He's a TV. I think he's a Walter Goggins. Like an American sitcom actor.
I apologize to Walter Goggins. I would more than happy to have you on the podcast.
I'd love Dave Goggins in this podcast.
No, I hate it.
No,
I don't like that man. The more I look into it, the less I like him.
No, you do like him.
I don't.
You
like
just don't
him.
Know it yet.
No, I don't like him, Chris.
You gotta read his book. You read his book.
I'm not going anywhere near his book.
Oh, you should though. It's just such a great life story.
You lost a bunch of weight.
No,
you were in the military.
It's more than that.
No, I don't like him. I don't like his whole. No. He's gonna start a cult one day. I guarantee it.
He already has. Yeah,
one,
he's got
it?
A following. Yeah.
Yeah. So fuck that.
Right. Let's go. Next question. I kind of keep on the theme of that. If you could have this one comes from DLB. Deal burn. If you could have a beer or whiskey with anyone, who would it be, dead or alive? Now, I think there's different
that's
people.
That's a better one for someone funny, I think.
Mm.
Interview would be better to pick someone's brain. Like, you could get someone like truly fascinating, like Arnold Schwarzenegger on for that. But I think to have a beer or a whiskey with somebody, that would be, I would nearly have to, because I don't, if you have a beer or a whiskey with someone like who's like really like this vast, intelligent person,
yeah,
you're going to get into like deep, dark, like
you don't want
intellectual shit,
I don't want
questioning
that.
Life now. Yeah. I want to like talk shit.
I think John Krasinski is definitely one of mine. I think he's a very kind of grounded, and again, another grounded person. Mm. And I think if we had a beer together, I think we could
get along famously. Bill Burr.
Oh, Bill Burr.
Did you ever watch Bill Burr?
Yeah.
He seems like a guy who just like is constantly shooting the shit.
Bill Burr is fucking hilarious, man.
Yeah. He is hilarious.
Bill Burr is fucking
I would
brilliant.
Be semi afraid talking to him though.
Why?
Because I feel like he could just rip into you and he could just shoot you down like on so many levels. 100%,
yeah.
He could just decide that there's something funny about you.
And that's
he'll just shred you in pieces.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, yeah, it's a fucking joke. And you're like,
yeah,
yeah, it's so funny. good one, Bill.
Yeah.
I've got no confidence anymore.
I'm trying to think. Do you want any like sports stars? Any sports personalities that you'd like to have a drink with?
I don't know.
I don't know if I follow.
I don't think I could relate with that.
Neither do I. I don't think I could relate to, like, if we had, like, I don't know, like, a footballer on. I mean, it'd be cool and all.
Yeah, it would be cool, but it's kind of like, I don't really understand
Eddie
the
Howe.
World. Eddie Howe.
Eddie
yeah,
Howe.
Yeah.
I think he could sit here no problem and just
it's
shoot
one of
the shit.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
One of the bays.
He'd love stories about exorcisms and shit.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't you, Eddie?
Yeah, Eddie.
Eddie, give us a shout.
And Eddie we trust.
We'll tag him in the Instagram as well.
We could, yeah.
God, let me think, like.
Any actors, game developers, voice actors...
John DiMaggio.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. He could just do voices for us.
Yeah, right now, if we just do another voice. Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want to. Do another voice!
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
A
beer or whiskey with anyone? I'm trying to think. Who just seems like a kind of laid-back person?
Oh, Bill Murray.
Oh, Bill Murray would be great.
Bill Murray would be excellent.
Yeah, Bill Murray would be fucking fantastic, yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be tremendous. McConaughey. I would pick McConaughey for a drink over McConaughey as a guest.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think...
Did you see McConaughey on the Late Late?
I did indeed, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. On what?
On the Late Late.
Oh, no, I seen him on Joe Rogan.
That's what I was like. Oh. I know you definitely did not see him on the Late Late.
No, I seen him on Joe Rogan. Yeah, yeah. He was fantastic as well. Yeah, he's a great guest. See, Kanye was on
Joe Rogan? I seen the announcement, but yeah. I don't watch Joe Rogan anymore.
Do you just give up on that whole?
Yeah, I'm a bit fed up with him now as well.
Yeah, I get it. I go through.
Yeah, there's phases. Yeah, phases. Depends so heavily on the guest. Like
completely. That's why, thankfully, we don't need that in this
show. Exactly.
This is why we don't take on guests.
That's why I find Joe Rogan as well changes his opinion depending on who he's talking to. Like sometimes he'll be like,
all the time.
Yeah, he'll be like, you know, like, oh no, that's so true what you're saying and all this here. And then at the two episodes later, he'll be talking to a guy who's kind of like disagrees.
And he's like, oh,
100%. Oh, I had such and such on the podcast. They're talking about all this crazy shit, man. Yeah. Like, you fucking agree to them. But I don't listen to enough Joe Rogan anyway. To care.
I don't know. I can't think of...
I would definitely... I would have to pick someone funny. Like
I think, yeah, comedian's definitely a good shot there.
Yeah. Jimmy Carr.
Oh,
that would be funny.
I would just, as soon as that cunt starts laughing, you know, gone.
That would be painful for us though, because if he's going to be picking out of somebody, it's probably going to be the two people.
Ricky Gervais. Oh, excellent. I love Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais is a fucking...
Because I think he would just be great just to talk to. Yeah.
Have you ever watched, like, I actually love watching, like, Ricky Gervais in, like, you know, those, like, not scripted, like, talk show type things?
Yeah, like a podcast or something.
Kind of like a podcast, yeah. Like, I've watched a few, like... You never see, like, the Getting Coffee with comedians?
Yeah.
Seen that one with him. I've seen a couple of different ones where there's, like, people interviewing him.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
Like. If you like him, you know True Geordie in that podcast? From True Geordie, big English podcaster from, obviously, Newcastle.
Yeah.
He had Ricky Gervais on. It is a tremendous episode because they literally just let him talk about whatever. And he's just hilarious.
He is just hilarious. He keeps, like, finding just funny things in the world. Conan O'Brien. With him as well. Yeah. Brilliant. Like, Ricky Gervais is an excellent shout.
There we go. Yeah. That could be mine.
That's a good one.
Not even as a guest, just to have a drink with.
Yeah, to have a drink with, I think.
But we also record it behind mics because you don't want to lose that shit, you know?
And Ricky Gervais. Yeah. That's the biggest draw we'll ever have.
Another question then comes from Michelle Callahan this week. If you had one intro song each, what would it be and why? An intro song, D.
The one that we all re-intro the podcast with. That one.
What's that? What's Walk in the Woods or something?
It's called Pub in the Woods. Pub in the Woods by One Man Orchestra, I think it is, or One Man Symphony.
Yeah. That's our music for this.
Yeah. Go check them out on Bandcamp. I don't know. Yeah. Go check them out. Go Google it. Intro music. My taste in music is very...
I had this conversation with my brother during the week. I hate when people say,
"What type of music do you listen to?"
Yeah, because I don't have a music type.
Yeah,
you know, I just if I or who do you like listening? You know, what artists do you like?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah,
I have songs I like, and it depends on my mood at the time.
Yeah,
I go through a phase where for like a week, all I listen to is like video game soundtracks and shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How do you answer, like, if you're the person who listens to movie soundtracks, which I do, and I'm sure you do
all
as well.
All the time.
How do you answer that question? Oh, what type of music you like? Soundtracks. What do you mean soundtracks? Like, you know, like Inception and, you know, Band of Brothers, you know, stuff like that.
Do you like Hans Zimmer, basically? Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. I'm talking exactly about, like, yeah.
Justin Timberlake, right? Yeah. No. I'm more like a Michael Giacchino.
But then I'll go through a phase where I just listen to like rap for like a fucking week. Yeah, and then I'll go through another phase where I listen to like, I don't know.
Laura and I got asked this question during the week. And I loved Laura's response, which is like, I can't listen to like a lot of like, you know, like 80s and 70s stuff and, you know, like 90s and like early noughties.
So right from 70s right the way
through. She was like, modern music too. It's like, I mean, how do you answer that question? Yeah. Like,
I can't be asked that question, yeah. Because it's just like, I don't have an answer.
It's so true, I guess. Like, because I go through periods of listening to 70s music, and then I'd be on the 80s music, and then I'll be on like recent releases.
My my Spotify is just a mess.
Yeah, it's just a,
you know. In terms of what song though I would want as a soundtrack,
intro music, right? I would pick,
I wouldn't mind like a Watchful Guardian or something. Batman's.
Oh, there. That's a good one.
You know that, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
just the horn from Inception.
Oh, yeah,
you'd know I was calling.
Oh, right. What do you call Dream is Collapse? No, I wouldn't want Dream is Collapsing. What do you call the other one? What do you call the place they're in? Mm. And it's just the name of the song in Inception.
Oh,
it's not Mombasa, is it?
Oh, Mombasa.
Yeah,
oh,
that is, it's brilliant. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that'd be a good intro.
You couldn't intro that. You'd be fucking going full dig.
Exactly.
Running out there.
Whatever song we pick, we'll introduce ourselves in the podcast next week with those songs.
Okay.
Only like 3 seconds of the clip, though, because we don't want to get flagged.
True. I can't think of one, though. I'm annoyed. I want to think of like a big momentous one. Because I listen to a lot of music like that.
I tell you what, why don't we just think about it over the next week, and then by next week, you'll get those answers when we introduce ourselves with that.
So. Okay, right, right. That's a to-do. I'll write that down.
Yeah,
write that down.
I'll write it down. It's here, so while I'm editing, I'll just
remind
you.
Neither of us written it down. Okay. It's not going to happen.
What do you think? Do we have time to go on? Do you want to go on with these, or do you want to keep some for next week?
I'm enjoying them. What are we on with the podcast?
123.
Okay, maybe we should wrap it up.
Yeah. Then. Okay. Yeah, we're going to keep the remainder, the other three questions we have here. I will keep them for next week for the final big spooky. And we'll hopefully get like a dozen or so more. And then we'll just one
bam, 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 bam.
Big all out one.
Bam, bam, bam.
But thank you so much for getting in touch with us with your questions, queries, and comments this week. Remember to do so over at Instagram or Twitter. It seems to be the best place to get in touch with us. And do you want to get personal with the podcast for the last bit?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I do.
Okay. Oh, thank you as well to Liam Muggsy. I was talking to him on Instagram this week, and he said he's very excited for the local ghost stories.
Oh, that's good.
Episode.
Did he give us any? Does he have any like?
No questions this week, actually. No.
No, but like a local ghost story.
Oh, actually, he might be able to. He'd be a great person to give us some local.
Because like I feel like that's knowledge. The type of stuff like whenever we were younger, we would have been sitting around like talking to like Liam and others just about like, oh, did you,
this creepy.
This house
kind
up
of
the
shit.
Road is totally haunted.
Like, definitely, you know, stuff like that. Anybody that we kind of grew up with or around, if you happen to listen to our podcast, of course, get in touch with us and just give us like a couple of words even describing like a local ghost story, and we'll run with it because chances are we already know what it is.
Yeah,
so we'll run with that. That would be terrific. I'll clip that. I'll put
I
that
asked
in.
Laura, did you hear about any like ghost stories out of Belfast?
Yeah.
And she was like, no.
Okay.
I'm like, you're second biggest city in Ireland. There's just none. She's like, no, I don't know.
There's a lot of moidies. A lot of moidies. No, no ghosts.
Yeah, we're not talking about those type of ghost stories. So.
Okay, personal with the podcast this week then, what do I do? I'm gonna have a sweet day.
Oh, get in there, Chris, and enjoy yourself. This week was, I mean, nothing really happened. You know, nothing really does happen anymore.
I feel that this segment, we get personal with the podcast, nothing really happens anymore, and so we almost break this segment up throughout the duration of our podcast.
Oh yeah, we do. Kind of like what we've done.
But I love this.
Should we just do it like what we eat and what we watch? Because that's pretty much all we talk about anyway.
Yeah. You came back home. You're back home.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I came back down at the weekend.
Yeah, because this podcast, as everybody knows from Instagram, was actually supposed to be a remote one. I put up that we were going remote, and then you happened to come back down.
I just
the
came and made a letter to you.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Made a real fuck of me. In front of the guys.
Well, I just want the people to see the truth.
Oh, we're also no, go on. I'll touch on that after. Oh, how did your parents take the big news of the house?
Oh yeah, so they knew.
Yeah, they obviously knew. Yeah, yeah. They obviously knew after me because I was the first to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Totally. Podcast. I waited until the podcast was out before I told anybody.
Yeah, obviously.
So the world knew before my parents.
Do you have a wee celebratory drink or anything?
Kind of. Not really, because we're kind of still, we're waiting for
everything just to be 100%.
Probably have the celebratory drink in the house, you know, whenever it's all done.
Oh, yeah.
But we were down this weekend and talking about it, getting excited about it and stuff.
Excellent.
Planning furniture and all that, you know, good stuff. So that was kind of fun, yeah.
Excellent.
What do? We haven't done, like, we came down yesterday. We came down Friday night. Chilled. Oh, we started watching Fargo again.
What
a show.
What a show. I got my mum onto Fargo.
Oh. I loved it. I rewatched season one, I think, for the first time I've ever rewatched it.
Oh, it's so fucking good. You forget a lot as well.
Oh, you do. Absolutely, yeah. You do. Yeah.
Even when she was going back through telling me about bits and pieces, I was like, that's right. Where do you see what's coming? Mm-hmm. And plus, so, he's a tremendous actor in that.
Martin Freeman?
Martin Freeman.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of his in The Hobbit movies at all, but in that, he is fantastic. It's Have you seen that film Cargo on Netflix?
Cargo?
Cargo.
No.
I think it's like a zombie movie, but he is protecting a child, aka the cargo, and he has to get from one place to the other. It came out like at the start of October, I think, for like spooky season. I don't know how it's doing, but it keeps popping up in my like to watch.
I might check it out.
Yeah, what else you got up to? Oh, so Fargo,
I went for a walk yesterday just in the forest behind you.
Did you?
We did, yeah.
Fantastic.
Because obviously in the Republic of Ireland, it's a level 5 lockdown right now. That's so right. It's really don't leave the house unless you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want to go. Normally we'd go to Castle Sheen, you know, for the wee dooter. We didn't want to do that because kind of they're making a big push up here. I don't really know, like, no big deal. We were only going for like a walk, you know, for your exercise anyway. So went up to Carna there and, oh, geez, there's no lockdown at all. People are out fishing and
there's no lockdown.
You know yourself.
Yeah.
But it was nice wee walk.
Yeah.
I was surprised how deforested Carna is. Like, there's not as many trees, really.
Not what it used to be, anyway.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that.
Like. Apparently, there's a big push on getting more and more done to the forest. They're putting in, like, specific fishing booths. And there's a plan for a glamping station.
Ooh!
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what I was thinking. It's like, no credit to it. Like, the trees and stuff I missed, they're not there, but, like, yeah, the paths they have up and the play park and stuff is really cool.
Yeah, really, really nice.
And fishing stations would be an excellent addition. And glamping, right? So I think there's the old hotel there.
Yep.
There's all that space. You could definitely do something like that with that.
I've heard haunted stories about up there. We'll touch on
that. That's what I would be doing. I would be like,
could do like a
come stay in the haunted house or thing. It's just like an old worn down place, but there's a couple of rooms that have been like,
if you hadn't known, I must show you, like, there's a path when you're on the main path. Once you're halfway down like the back street, there's like a little, you'll actually just see it. It's like a path that's been embedded into the bank. That's our track. And if you follow that, you'll go down a couple of like stairs that we've dug in. You'll go across like two bridges we've made, and you'll literally come through at our back.
You've done this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have just made your own path.
Yeah.
That's class.
Off to the main path.
Yeah.
Hey, show it to you. You should just call down to the house.
I will do.
That'd be great.
Or just stand in the backyard.
Hello. Oh, that'd be freaky as fuck, man. We look out. What time were you up around Carna yesterday?
12-ish, 1-ish.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're not coming at like 6 in the morning. Just standing there. Hello.
Even 6 in the evening.
Hello. Oh, yeah, clock's been back last night.
Did you make the most of it?
No.
No, I woke up fucking extra early this morning because I was like, oh, I'm refreshed.
Oh, no, I just woke up at the regular time, but I was refreshed, I guess.
I went for a walk around Carna this morning.
Excellent. That's a good job. They're talking about getting rid of the daylight savings. What do you think about that?
I wholeheartedly support it because we're like one of the few countries in the world that still do it.
There's quite a few countries in Europe.
Part of USA do it as well.
Yeah. I think most of USA does it.
Is it?
Most of New York does it.
I think, and this would have been the perfect year to do it. Just rip off the band-aid. When everyone's at home being confused as fuck anyway. Just do it now.
Probably would have been.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? It was for children going to war, so it's a bit brighter.
Going to war?
Yeah. It's not children. So they can find the way to the barracks, you know?
A dark part of our history. We sent the children to war.
While we stayed at home and learnt. This is empty promise. Fuck off history.
Alternate history, yeah.
Charge of the Light Brigade. Oh, fuck, let me tell you.
Lost over 6,000 children that day. God almighty.
Our fellas had no idea what they were doing.
I did not at all. Children to school.
Children to school, yeah. So it was brighter for them, yeah. Fuck me.
That is it. Although I've seen like opposite opinions saying that we need sunlight in the morning so that we, like, the human brain can like wake up and operate on a regular schedule.
So our circadian rhythm.
Exactly. But then the kind of intuitive thing that you want is more hours in the evening because you'll be enjoying them then. You'll actually have time to enjoy them rather than waking up and going to work or whatever.
6 of 1, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Mm. You know, you can't throw it away. Yeah, I agree. I think I get rid of it and just you don't have to deal with this shit anymore.
No.
Do you ever read that thing in Matthew Walker's book as well about like the Monday after, indeed the day after, and then the Monday after the daylight savings change, mm-hmm. when it goes forward, so whenever you lose an hour mm-hmm. of sleep, there's like a notable marked increase in car crashes and A&E visits.
Because people haven't got their proper allotment of sleep. People
have lost a little bit of rest, so they're more inclined to make mistakes.
Sleep, I know we've talked about it before.
It's a killer. It's literally a killer.
I would love to do another episode on sleep. I know we've done one before and we briefly touched on it, but I would love to dive into that, down that rabbit hole again. Oh, yeah. It's super important. It's unbelievable.
And it's really, really crazy as well.
It's really interesting.
We don't know why we sleep.
I know.
To this day, we don't know.
We still don't know. But we know we need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we're fucked. Russian sleep experiment. We'll go into that. We keep going. We're going. Aside from that, Chris, I haven't done much interesting things. Started playing, played a bit of Apex. We played a bit of the Cold War beta.
How was that?
It's good. It's better than Modern Warfare for me, anyway.
I'm excited for the Cold War.
So a bit of that.
The game.
Cold War 2.
Mm-hmm. Where we send our children.
Yeah. Exactly. Played a few games like that, and I've been watching Fargo. Started watching The Legend of Korra as well.
Oh, nice.
Which is like the kind of follow-up to Avatar.
Avatar, yeah.
And been enjoying that. That's really it, Chris.
Nice. I myself this week, yesterday actually, I told you that I was thinking of, I had this just insatiable desire to play Skyrim. I don't know what came over me. Like, this is going to be my fifth play of Skyrim if I put that game in. I didn't do it yesterday.
You're afraid to make that commitment.
I think that's exactly what it is. You wrote to me and you said, it's the perfect like Christmassy, wintery game. Where you just like sit down, you plug away. I'm sure you find it with like Fallout, maybe New Vegas, something like that. You have a game where you just...
Fallout 3, the first Fallout game I ever played. That, got it for Christmas.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I played it, man. Just like the dark evenings, you sit inside, play a game.
Yeah, I've done four separate plays of Skyrim. all of different characters and races. Like
PS3, PS4, Switch.
Yeah, I did Switch, I did PS4 twice, and I did Xbox 360.
Oh, Xbox 360. Yeah. That's insane. Like,
yeah. I played as four different races.
That game is so old!
I know! It was like 2011.
And it's still playable. Like, yeah. It's still there to play.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I felt compelled. Anyway, as I was talking to you, I was also talking to James Sinker. And I just happened to ask him, any chance you've ever played Bloodborne?
Oh, yes.
And what a coincidence. He's actually playing it. He was playing it as we spoke. And he said he recommends it. Can be a little frustrating, but not as frustrating as the Souls games.
Yep.
But definitely enjoyable. So I'm thinking of maybe tackling Bloodborne.
Apparently it's like amazing.
Yeah.
If you do get into it.
It's scored very highly as well.
Yeah.
I don't
think I ever would get into it.
He also got into Phasmophobia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, some of the stories you've been telling me about it so far, it's just like, I'm like, nope.
We'll play it, Chris.
Yeah,
we'll to do a video for it for Halloween.
Yeah, we have to. This week?
The next week or so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because me and Nora haven't played it again since that time you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
You and Aaron played it. Kind of just out of like, I just don't want to stress myself.
Mm.
But I will definitely play it again. Just to get those spoopy feels.
Warzone Season 6, or not even Season 6, Warzone Halloween kind of mode.
The Haunting of Verdun.
Yeah. It's good.
I played it.
Yeah?
We downloaded Warzone and played it.
You download that big 200 and something.
Thankfully, you can just download it by itself. So it's only 100. It's only 130 gigabytes.
It's fucking insane, man.
Yeah. But we downloaded it and played a few rounds of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty burnt out.
Burnt
on,
out already.
On Battle Royale. But multiplayer, I want to do some more like team deathmatch.
I would happily do some more team deathmatch. Yeah, I get what you're saying, Battle Royale. I've had enough of... Of Verdansk, even.
Yeah.
The night mode is lovely. Like, I really like how it looks and plays, but I'm done with Warzone for a while. I think I can safely uninstall that from my hard drive and make way for something else.
Install Apex, Chris, and then we can play it because it's crossplay now.
Rocket League, man.
Oh, yeah?
I want to play some Rocket League. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could do some Apex.
It's a battle royale, but it's fast paced.
Yeah. I like fast.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. Apart from that, D, this week I watched Last House on the Left.
Okay, nice.
This is a good movie. I watched Wolf Creek 2.
Okay.
And I watched... what was that film that was on? I watched something. Fuck, it's completely slipped me now. I used to write this stuff down. Now I just go off of feel.
Yeah, no, just yeah. What's in your mind? It's because you used to do a lot in the week and you had to write it down. But yeah. Now it's like, through what else?
I made a fantastic couple of dishes this week as well. I had a lovely.
Seen some of them on your Insta.
There you go. Yeah, I'll not dive into them too much then. I had a lovely bolognese yesterday though.
Seen that with the meat-free meat.
Yeah, meat-free meat and some nice sauce and garlic bread, cheesy garlic bread.
I made garlic. Oh, I made pizza during the week.
How'd that go?
Yeah. Well, you were there. You seen the dough that
I didn't see it.
I just told you it was there.
You just told me. So for all I know, it wasn't there. Yeah.
Came out pretty good. It was a bit yeasty. The dough was a bit yeasty, so it wasn't amazing. I didn't cook the whole way through. I did cook the whole way through, but it was kind of like... Because you can't really cook a good pizza in your oven. You need like a super hot oven and like a pizza strum. So it was kind of like the crust wasn't like, you know, crispy, which sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a good sauce. I was impressed with my sauce.
Well done.
And what cheese is like cheese.
Passata, some tomato puree.
Use a can of, you can use a
chopped tomatoes.
Crushed tomatoes, chopped tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I use plum tomatoes, skinned.
Fantastic. Plum fantastic tomatoes. Choice.
And I mash them up with like
a black
potato masher. Yeah, in a black can.
Napoli? Those
yeah.
Ones? Oh, Napoli, man, yeah. I know what you're talking about, man.
I mash them up with a potato masher.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like chunky still.
Yeah. Still have a bit of texture to them.
Yeah. Cooked it up with some, a little bit of, we didn't have onions, so I used onion.
Onion powder?
Powder,
fantastic, yeah.
And
almost, sometimes better.
I mean, yeah, it came out pretty good, so I was happy with
any
it.
Any garlic in it?
Yeah, a bit of garlic in there. Because last time I made a pizza, I just use raw tomato sauce because I heard that you just let it cook on the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I tried cooking it up with a bit of olive oil, a bit of garlic, a bit of onion. Simmered it down. We have oregano and basil in it. And
oh, fantastic.
I think that was it. Like, it's a simple enough sauce.
Yep.
But it tasted fucking good. And then just cheese. Like,
yep.
Fresh mozzarella.
Fresh mozz.
Oh, it's so good.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, was your mozzarella made with buffalo milk? Or was it made, yeah? Because the original was always made with buffalo.
I think it was. Like, you know, like it comes in like...
A block?
No, it comes in like a bag with water
oh,
in it.
Oh, yeah.
You have to drain the cheese.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Had that.
Good.
But I also made garlic bread. And when I say made garlic, we took the, you know, the cook-yourself baguettes?
Yeah.
Just got one of those, sliced it, and...
butter and garlic?
Yeah, butter and garlic.
That's what I did mine with yesterday. Yeah. It's fucking
and a bit
beautiful.
Of the oregano to put the green in
yeah.
it. Oh, so lovely.
Very, very good, isn't it?
Yeah. So easy to make.
I did Mexican rice during the week. Ever since you told me about doing Mexican rice, man, I've been doing that like at least once a week. That lasts me like 2 days dinners. It's so fun.
What is that? Weird. Like, how do you make yours now? Because we use chicken stock with ours.
I use vegetable stock.
Oh, yeah.
Vegetable stock and like a smooth passata sauce then.
Yeah.
Do
you use like tomato paste or do you use like a sauce?
I use like a sauce, like a jar of sauce. Yeah. Or just like a carton of passata. Some spices in there, a bit of cumin.
Yeah.
And I've started using the hottest chili powder I can to add a wee bit of kick to it.
Okay.
Because the first couple of times I made it, it was kind of spicy, but not just enough as I wanted.
I think it's because a lot of that just like condenses away
just,
or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what that is about.
Delicious though. I add some black beans to mine as well. Some veggies. Oh, delicious.
We had that during the week as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some, very, very good.
Some chicken and some sweet corn. Stacey, did you put up a steak on your Instagram recently?
That was, Aaron got that.
Oh, really?
You see the size of that fucker?
Yeah, fucking
Yeah. That's McInerney's in Armagh Finest. Their butcher is fucking phenomenal.
How many did you $3 for that?
17.
That's good.
Yeah, you wouldn't pay £17 for that out, let me tell you. You'd pay about 30.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You'd never get it. If you got a steak for £17, you'd be wondering, what is it, beef at all?
That was what size was that? That was fucking huge. That was about the size of a standard plate. Oh, thickness? Thickness-wise, we're talking a good inch and a half.
Oh, I was going to say about 2 inches, but yeah.
And he did what we talked about on this podcast before. He seasoned it using a broken
Axel
up...
Cube.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to try that. We haven't had steak since then.
Yeah.
But Laura has went, she's going to get... We were going to get more out of like Tesco as it, but she's like, nah, I'm going to go to a butcher's and get it next time.
Oh, yeah. 3 minutes either side into the oven for 3 or 4 minutes as well, just to make sure.
Oh, did you do that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
See, we had to because...
So thick.
Exactly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
true. That's fair.
Otherwise, it just burn.
That's the reverse sear method, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
See, I know stuff, some
we
stuff.
We do know some stuff. Like, apart from that, this week, D, you've seen down below, I'm getting the gym ready. A home gym ready. It should be good to go in about 2 weeks' time. So we got the fire installed. Because you need that in a home gym.
You do. Just gives it that rustic feel.
We got our flooring. I have to go this week to Antrim, believe it or not, and pick up some more flooring for the gym.
Are you getting those off of like a Gumtree and stuff? Or?
Yeah, well, I'm getting... I've got all the rubber matting. And then we're doing... like a large portion of a big L-shaped portion in old 3G AstroTurf.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Just to have that for like a sled and stuff on it as well. You know, like the big sleds that you push, you put weights on and you push it.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. You have all that inside?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then we wait for some equipment to arrive and we'll get the whole thing painted this week. So in the next 2 weeks, we should have a pretty decent setup.
That's sick,
eh? Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be some transformation. Mm-hmm. Have you got before and after photos?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got plenty of them.
Perfect.
And then over the next couple of months, then we'll just pick up. Well, I say it next couple of months, it'll be over the next couple of years. We'll pick up more and more equipment and we'll just.
Yeah, little by little.
Mm-hmm. Aside from that, my week's been pretty quiet, I think. Yeah, it's been a good week, though. It's been a very good week, yeah.
I agree with that.
I can't think of anything else I've done. Just getting ready for this and in my spare time. Oh, I started reading Chariots of the Gods that you've seen inside.
Yes,
am going to gift you whenever I'm done, just to get your opinion on it, somebody else's opinion on it. I was gifted that book years ago by one of my uncles as like an introduction to like kind of UFOs, space, mysteries of the universe, that kind of thing. And I read maybe a quarter of the book and I enjoyed it and then I lost it. Or I gave it to someone and never got it back. I can't remember.
Give it to me for fuck's sake.
But I picked it up there during the week. Man, it's hard to put down. It's got some really interesting things. The main premise of it being that it's the scientist's hypothesis, really. That humans, the first humans on Earth that we know, weren't actually the first humans on Earth. Right. That there was other humans that came to Earth beforehand.
Oh, like aliens?
That it's possible. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Now, like, we don't have to think of them as aliens, as in like little terrestrial, you know,
they're
beings.
Humans.
They're humans, just from another.
Yeah. Humans didn't come from Earth.
No.
They came from somewhere else, and then they came here, and some humans stayed here.
Exactly. That's pretty much it.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
It uses like different findings and archaeological findings and digs and stuff to kind of support his theories. It's really good. So I'm going to get your opinion on it when I'm done. It's quite a short book as well.
Okay.
So you'll enjoy that.
I've started reading John Dies at the End.
What?
Have you ever seen that or heard of that?
No.
It's a book and it's just called John Dies at the End.
Does John die at the end?
I haven't read the end yet.
Oh, fuck.
But John's in it and apparently the book says he dies at the end, so...
Jesus, that's a kind of weird way to go.
I know, yeah. It's just a weird book. Like, it's kind of like a... Yeah, it's a weird book.
Yeah.
It's not weird as in what happens weird. It's the writing style is weird. And it's kind of like... It's cool, too, though. It's interesting. It's about, like, a paranormal kind of investigator. I think they're investigators. Kind of this guy can see things from other realities.
Fictional?
Oh, yeah. 100% fictional. Oh, God, yeah.
Good.
I don't read nonfiction anymore.
Do you not know?
The last nonfiction book I read was Matthew Walker.
Most, I'd say...
Well, actually, no, Tom McCabot's. I started it, I never finished it.
90% of mine is non-fiction. My reading is non-fiction, really? Yeah.
No, I just don't... I kind of like...
Every now and again, I break it up with like a story or something. Yeah.
I would be the opposite. I would break up a bit of fiction with a non-fiction.
Good, it's good that we have that, because now we have a dynamic
We can bring different aspects to the conversation.
That's exactly it, you know. We always know something about something.
Exactly.
I think we can wrap this one up. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been episode 108 of the Empty Promise Podcast. You can find the video version over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast, or the audio will be available on any podcast hosting service. You can get in touch with us throughout the following week on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, but Instagram and Twitter work best for us. Use our stories to send us questions, queries, comments. We love to hear from you. We love your questions. And I think that's about it. You can also get in touch with us through our email.
This is me.
Which is?
EmptyPromiseGmail. Gmail. I have one thing to say, you guys.
gmail.com EmptyPromise/.
There you go. www.google.com and search for Yahoo.
Search for Bing.
And on Bing, you ask Bing, "What? Take me to email," and you search Empty
ask
Promise. Seriously, it's EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Type in YouTube how to find Empty Promises.
What's the top result from that search, and it'll tell you what website to go to, and you'll find us.
Get in touch.
A video idea that I will do sometime.
That'll be great. Actually,
yeah, how to find us, and it'll be like Yahoo.com. Go to Google. You want to download this? You want to download the Chrome browser?
You're in a really bad. Like, record through the audio just in your computer, you know, your laptop.
The video will just be like a video of my. my computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Over my shoulder.
Yeah, Jesus.
You zoom in on that there. Right?
All you hear is like a fan in the back, constant humming. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you to everybody who got in touch with us this week. We hope this podcast finds you well. This is what I wanted to mention, Dee, before we finish. Yes. One second, I bring this bad boy up. Our analytics for the week. Because
analytics.
Our analytics, because I know some of you enjoy the analytics. I do, very much so. And here we go. Our biggest in the last week in terms of listens. United Kingdom still staying strong up top, followed by Australia, United States, France, Sweden, Bulgaria, Canada, India, Indonesia, and Mexico.
Mexico!
Mexico!
Excellent.
And our biggest cities are Melbourne, London, Nottingham, Unknown, Londonderry.
Oh, Unknown.
Newry, Paris, Upper Grand Lagoon.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. Bengaluru and Boston.
Nice.
Yeah, so there you go.
Boston. I hope my Bill Burr, is he from Boston?
He's East Coast, I know.
Boston.
Yeah, he's definitely East Coast.
If I haven't offended anybody already, Boston.
Oh, I hope so. Please, if you listen from these places, get in touch with us and let us know where you've listened to us from, because we love hearing that kind of stuff. It just propels us, you know, like rocket propel, rocket propel grenades. I wish there was a way to shorten that.
Yeah. Fuck's sakes. Role playing game.
That's it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you all very much. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye and God bless.
Bye bye.